Welcome to Operation Oversight, the official podcast for the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. My name is Jennifer George-Nickel. I'm with SIGAR's Public Affairs Office, and I'm joined today by Jeff and Carol from our Audits Directorate. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Jeff and Carol are here to talk about a recently released audit of an Afghan Air Force remodernization program that was aimed at replacing an aging helicopter fleet of Mi-17s with UH-60s, or sometimes called Blackhawks. Before we get into the audit, can you guys tell me a little bit about the decision to modernize the Afghan Air Force's fleet, the importance of the Afghan Air Force, why this was a priority for the United States?
Sure. The Afghan Air Force is made up primarily of Mi-17 helicopters, which are Russian-built. And it's become, according to DOD, much more difficult to support and maintain these helicopters, in part because of the deteriorating relationship between the U.S. and Russia. The aircraft are important because Afghanistan's a large country, doesn't have a lot of roads. So to move people around Afghanistan and to get the Afghan army into the fight, they need to have stable and usable helicopters. So that was DOD's understanding of why they needed to modernize the Afghan Air Force.
Why don't you guys tell me a little bit about the audit and what you guys found?
Yeah, so first, as you mentioned, we looked at the replacement of the Mi-17s with the UH-60, which was titled the Modernization of the Afghan Air Force. There are some other helicopters that will be and other aircraft that are part of that fleet, some MD-530s and some A-29s and things like that. However, when the 159 UH-60 Blackhawks are fielded, that'll be more than 50% of the total air force that the Afghans have. So this audit looked at that program, which will cost between $5 and $7 billion.
So with an entirely new fleet, a new aircraft, they're going to need to, I assume, retrain pilots or train them. But looking at the original plan for this program, the Combined Security Transition Command Afghanistan, or CSTCA, wanted to train 477 UH-60 pilots. But now they're only going to train 320. Can you tell us what happened there? Why did they cut a large number of pilots from the program?
As DOD has self-reported again and again, that human capital development for all phases of the Afghan security forces is the major challenge with any fielding of a weapon system. What originally happened was is that they planned to train 1.5 pilot crews per aircraft, which generated the need for 477 pilots. Due to the expected operational readiness rate of the aircraft, only 75% of the aircraft are usually in service at one time, so they cut the ratio down from the entire fleet to the 75% that they expect to be operationally ready at any one time. And then they further cut down the ratio of pilots from 1.5 down to 1.25 and even as low as 1.2 or 1.1 in certain projections. And that's how they arrived at the 320 number. And this was all due to challenges that they have in developing pilots in the pipeline.
It also looks like CSTCA is having similar problems with maintenance personnel. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think the first thing we should mention is that CSTCA ended up requesting these helicopters to be in country a lot faster than they originally anticipated being able to field them. And it made sense from a warfighter capability aspect that they wanted them in the fight by June of 2018. So due to that pressure and that accelerated timeline, a lot of things that normally would be planned for or be, incorporated into their fielding plan, they had to bypass it due to the urgency to get these into the fight. The program didn't receive any funding until about May of 2017, and they fielded the first training helicopters in October of that year, with the first functional aircraft or mission-capable aircraft arriving in January, and the AAF flying their first UH-60 operational mission in May of 2018, nearly a year to the date. Normally, DOD projects that it would take almost 2 years to reach that initial operation capability date, so many things fell by the wayside. And one of the things that they had not had an opportunity to start was the maintenance training plan or training of Afghan maintainers in their Afghan Air Force to be able to maintain this at locations and to help defray cost of the contractor logistics support.
This obviously isn't their first helicopter fleet. The fleet that they're replacing, the Mi-17s, is there anything that we, the U.S. and the Afghans, have learned and can apply to the UH-60 and this transition we're going into?
I think they learned multiple lessons, but I think many of the problems that we uncovered were that this is about double the size of the fleet of the MI-17. And the MI-17, they had approximately 83 aircraft that they had fielded and overall and with that. So the 159 Blackhawks would be nearly double that size. And to that point, the MI-17 had been the largest single platform that they had introduced into the Air Force. So this is, do you imagine the challenges are just exponential? So yes, they knew that English language training, for example, would be a problem. They knew that pilot development would be a problem. The pipeline just takes a long time to take someone from an untrained civilian to a military helicopter functional pilot. But again, with the size of the Air Force, that was one of our recommendations within the report was is that they may not be able to ultimately absorb this many aircraft. It might just be impossible.
One of the things they actually learned was that the Afghan Air Force overflew the MI-17s to the point that they're not necessarily available to be used during missions. So one of the things that SISTICA and the Afghan Air Force need to do to work together is to develop a program where they won't fly the aircraft too much, because the aircraft have to be inspected throughout the life. And when you inspect an aircraft, it takes it out of operations.
Do I understand correctly that the kind of thing you're talking about, a flying hour program or restrictions on flying hours, has not yet been implemented for the UH-60?
That's true. That was one of our recommendations, that they develop a flying hour program for the UH-60 working with the Afghan Air Force.
So are there any positive notes here? Is there anything the program got right?
Yes. Being able to reach that initial operational capability date of May 2018 was really a positive effort by everybody involved. It involved over 60 DoD organizations to be able to field that helicopter, train the pilots, get contractor logistics support in place, and things like that. So that was our first objective, and we found that to be what we consider a good news finding. We didn't do a lot of analysis on the actual selection of the UH-60 Alpha model aircraft, but it seems that the planning for using that aircraft to be scaled back if it needed to be instead of new procurement was a good idea. However, they never developed a actual pause point or a criteria that would say this is when we're going to stop delivering aircraft. But the intent behind selecting that model was that it would be able to be scaled back if they weren't able to absorb that many aircraft. So that's why we made the recommendation that they actually develop the actual point in wind time whenever aircraft exceed the number of air crews on the ground functionally use the helicopter, that they pause or terminate delivery of the aircraft at that point. But we left that point where that would happen up to them.
And it's my understanding as well, is this correct, that air capabilities going forward, if we're to be able to eventually get out of Afghanistan, will be important for the Afghan National Defense Forces to have well developed?
Yes, they need to have the helicopters and how to use the helicopters in a fight to get us out of Afghanistan.
This is all really interesting. Generally on the podcast, we like to ask, since we deal with somewhat wonky topics here at Cigar, why should this program and its successes and or failures be important to the average American? Why does the U.S. taxpayer care about something happening literally halfway around the world?
Well, I would say that, in my opinion, the American taxpayers are paying for a lot of this. This is their money that's going to support the Afghan National Security Forces and the country itself. And one of the hardest challenges with replacing the American forces in Afghanistan were those combat enablers. You can train an army that can fight and all those things, and the Afghans may be good at that. But medevac, close air support, all those things that what we consider combat enablers that help win the fight are the hardest thing to train. And this is where the UH-60s come in. And ultimately, this is a key crux in maintaining American interests in Afghanistan, ultimately contributing to that mission of not allowing Afghanistan to be used for a hotbed of terrorism and terrorist acts like 9/11.
In addition, if the Afghans can't fly their own helicopters, then it might fall to the U.S. to provide helicopter support to the Afghans, which would mean more Americans at risk.
Absolutely, and more American taxpayer dollars, it sounds like. Thank you guys so much. This was really interesting. Congrats on the audit. If you would like to read the audit itself, it can be found on our website, cigar.mil, as can all the other cigar reports that have both been discussed on this podcast and not. Or to follow our products, you can check us out on Facebook at Cigar HQ or on Twitter at the same handle. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of Operation Oversight. We'll see you guys next time.